June 7, 2009, there's a Watt from Pedro show.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro show. It's Saturday. No, it's Sunday. I'm sorry.
Sunday in Pedro.
Regular time, yeah. My second Sunday back from tour.
Welcome back.
Yeah, it was a good tour. Brother Matt, good to see you again.
See you too.
Our guest, Tiff.
Hey, Tiff.
Hello.
Doesn't have to share the mic.
Not yet.
Yeah, Bob's on the way. What did he say on the phone?
He went to Laguna, and we'll see him when he gets here.
Yeah.
That's
something
a wave.
Like that.
We'll
that's
see.
That's Orange County.
We'll see if we see him.
So we start off the show with John Coltrane and Thelonious Monk doing Off Minor, Take 5. And then we heard Twin of Myself, Black Moth Super Rainbow song, but it's remixed there by Go Team. Then we heard the original Twin of Myself, Black Moth Super Rainbow, and that's where I was last weekend. I played with them two nights. They came to West Hollywood in Orange County. And the first night they asked me to come and play two songs with them, and I was scared. One of them I had to start by myself, and they just jumped. They're a synthesizer band, but they, no sequencers. They play like we do with guitars, you know. But you know what I mean. There's no click track.
Uh-huh.
They're actually playing in real time together. Where so it was kind of trippy. So you can speed up, slow down, but you're actually playing. They're a great band. And then the next night they played in Orange County, a place called Diesel Bar, which I found out later was Club Mesa. I played years ago.
Just a new addition.
I was thinking it looks changed, but in a ways it looked familiar, the dress, everything, and inside. And then the boss there said, yeah, well, you played here years ago. I think a couple times. That's a good thing about Alzheimer's. You're always playing in bands.
Keeps it fresh.
And I got to play three songs there. I got to play the one song where Tobacco, their main guy, wrote a song. He asked me for a bass line. Actually, I sent him 12 bass lines. And he took one and made a song out of it. So I got to play that one. And show their bass player the lick. So maybe they start playing it in their set. Tobacco had to remember it. I got to play with him in Pittsburgh in his town.
Oh, cool.
They opened up. Not Black Moth Super Rainbow, but Tobacco, which is him and Mo. It was trippy. They were wearing these masks. He had a Lancito mask. In fact, they still had the Lancito mask when I played with them last week. They had some guy in a like Yeti suit and the Lancito mask jumping around. And, you know, like kind of like a mascot at football or something. And yeah, it had a permanent smile, so it was a trippy thing to look at. It had a beard, you know. And Mo had some trippy, like an older Chinaman mask. And then they had the guy who played bass, Ryan. He had some old man rubber mask, like latex, you know. And he came and sat, you know, the way it is with those electronic stuff, they put stuff on tables.
Mm-hmm.
So he sat next, came up while they're playing, pulled up a chair next to the table and just watched them. So like everyone was watching him, watching them. Yeah,
trippy.
Yeah, John Cage type of trip. And Ed from Ohio lives in Pittsburgh now, and he played two songs with us.
Cool.
It was a good tour. I could feel it. More sore after the gigs, and. But I'm not worn out. I'm not done. But I could feel it more. Last Mike Watt U.S. tour was 4.5 years ago. So I would say between 47 and 51 is different than 41 and 45. I feel it a little different.
All kinds of killer press from that tour.
Yeah, and the gig goer, the people came, were very nice to us. Raul and Tom played their asses off. You know, and it was very inspiring for me. I was telling you about this new thing I got now where I push the amp off a little more from the drum so I can actually come behind them. And I play between, when I ain't got to work mic, I play between Tom and Raul. Or I could even get on the other side of Tom when he's singing. So it brings it closer, and it's like I'm backing them up.
Mm-hmm.
And nine of the gigs was with Dinosaur. And Lou Barlow, the bass player, just did a solo album. And he liked Tom Rowell so much, he asked me if he could be Lou Barlow and the Missing Man this fall.
That's righteous.
And bring Tom and Rowell out with him. So they're going to go tour with him.
Bitchin'.
Yeah. Much respect. We had a Tiff, you were going to fly out. Well, you were going to do the whole tour.
But then I got a job.
But you were going to fly out to Sasquatch just in time to make the 1,200... 47-mile hell ride.
Mm-hmm. I wish I could have.
Only 19 hours in the boat.
Wow.
You did. You drove the 19 hours all at once?
We caulked in... there's a little town south of Eugene. Creewell or something. Mm-hmm. I can't remember its name. But...
I am bummed out.
Yeah, the nighttime is kind of scary for driving. In the daytime, you see all those dead deer. They're mainly getting killed at nighttime. So.
Mm.
And Southern Oregon's got all those turns in the road. Have you driven that way?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have.
Yeah, well, then you know the siskiyous. Yeah, it's kind of curvy. At nighttime, that can be kind of scary. So.
Mm-hmm.
We just waited till morning and conked. Drank some whiskey. Somebody gave us some in Bellingham. The night before the Sasquatch.
What was Sasquatch about the Sasquatch?
It's a festival.
But there's no Sasquatches there.
There might have been. They might have been hiding. We played early. I think they come out when it started. It's kind of like desert. You know, eastern Washington, eastern Oregon is like desert.
Hmm.
Behind the Cascades, the rain shadow. It's much different than the west side, which is all the evergreens. And all the rain. It's a lot different. This is by the Grand Coulee Dam, where the Columbia River goes north. And it is beautiful. It is blazing. We played at 12:15 p.m. on the main stage. Great sound. People working it. Actually, all the gigs, we had great people working with us. Sometimes sound not so good, but that was because of the situation or something.
Mm.
And just soldier on for the next gig. The only complaint I have about the whole tour is sometimes parking, man. If the clubs want you to play, why don't they get a parking space going?
Can't cruise the boat right up front, huh?
Yeah, there's
kooky.
Circling. What?
That's very kooky that if you have bands playing at your bar or your club, you don't have one spot at least where, you know, you can unload and load up the equipment.
Or just put the boat, too. I mean, for the night, where's it going to be?
Oh.
Even the load in, load out, it's, I think, more important. If you have it close, it's, I think, more safe.
Mm.
And plus, I conk in it before the gig, so I ain't got to go.
Yeah, you want to be close. Silly.
Although, if it's too close, if it's right out front, then, dude, you got
people
dudes banging on the hatch. Okay, six of the gigs. New York City to Detroit, Michigan. I had brought some friends from Tokyo named Light, who took me on a tour of their land a year and a half ago, or 14 months ago. And it was their first six U.S. gigs ever. And people really liked them. So many people thanked me after the show for bringing them. And they were very excited. And, you know, taking them to the pads to conk, you know, they're
cool.
Tripping on that.
Cultural
I was conking at their buddy's pads, you know, so. Yeah, they got to see a trippy version of U.S. I mean, they recorded, we're going to play you some music. They did three songs. I'm going to play you one of them in Maryland just before, 2 days before they joined up with us on Cinco de Mayo. They recorded and then came and joined us, I think, on the 6th at Mercury Lounge in New York City. Which I wish the New York Times guy would have talked about them, but Mr. Ben didn't. Because they played great. That was their first gig ever. And man,
so they got their own little take on music. And it seems like they blew people's minds, like math rock.
Yeah, people, but this new stuff's even different. They use synthesizer and stuff. They don't want to be into one category. Yeah, but people are amazed on the discipline, the focus, all the parts, the creativity. And there's no singing. It's all done with the guitars. It's kind of like some version or slightly influenced by maybe television. I don't know if they've heard of television. I've never asked them before. They might. They're only in their 20s, you know, younger cats. But the part of the U.S. they got to see was really neat, too. They got to play New York, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, and Detroit. So they got to see some Rust Belt, which I think is kind of interesting, you know, for folks to see from other lands. Because, you know, some images, I think we're all rich. We can see, you know, that way. You know, we were in Pittsburgh, and we talked to these people's pad. They were only going to be in a little while because they were buying a pad for $2,300.
Wow.
Yeah. Like a couple months of rent here, you know, buying it because the flight, people are just leaving these towns. And so the city don't want empty pads in San Americano.
Wow.
So they really enjoyed it. It was a trip for them. They were just, you know, playing their hearts out and trying to take in as much. First time on the New Jersey Turnpike, they went and ate at the Burger King. And then, yeah, the next day, yeah. What did Kozo-san told me? So we're waiting at the gas station, long-ass time. Where's Kozo? Where's Kozo? And he comes slowly walking from the head. He said, yeah, much hard work in the banjo. You know, they didn't shot those pads again. I told him. I guess they wanted an experience. I took him to Katz's in New York, which is a big deli, 100-year-old deli by Mercury Lounge. And these big roast beef things, you know. I had chopped liver. They didn't go for that. But the roast beef, it was too big. Tripping. Rest stop. So we're going to play this new music from Light right now.
卑下されようとも愛に神は持ち合わせておりません。私の総力圏は君の微笑み。君は人型兵器で私が矛盾の塊。何も知らなければよかったのでしょうか。何も知らなければよかったのでしょうか。君は人型兵器で私が矛盾の塊。無知は罪なのでしょうか。何も知らなければよかったのでしょうか。無知は罪ですか。
あと電池にそっくりだなってやっぱり
ね。
うん、
アルファベットの
あれ聞こえないっす。消防した。
そうですね、もう無状態っていうのはね。今日はそんな木村ゆきひこさんに来ていただいております。
どうも、
ね、ありがとうございます。今日はなんかニューアルバムをリリースされたという話で。
あ、うん、嘘です。あの前のアルバムをそのまま出そうかなっていうタイトルだけ変えて、
あ、
新しい試みを。
あ、うん、あ、それは新しい、うん、ちょっと聞いたことないですね。
ちょっとメジャーインディー的な、あるいはインディーメジャー的な、
なるほど。あ、じゃあ今日はその辺の話を。
そうだね、あの僕がやってるあのレーベルグリコの話も
立ち上げられたということで。
嘘です。
あ、それも嘘。
ええ、もう帰っていいですかね。
もうそんな木村さん今日はお越しいただいておりますけれども、今日はあの、うん、ね、リスナーの方からいろいろ木村さんに質問いただ
くの
もちょっと待っていいですか。かぶるんじゃなくても
、ね、すいません、質問が、
はい、リスナーの方から、あの結構ね、やっぱり木村さん人気ですんで、
あ、答えてやらないこともないです。
本当ですか。今日はあのね、老若にゃんの結構若い子から。
老若にゃん。
すいません。
あなたプロじゃないんです
よ。すいません、新入り。
申し訳ない。
私まだアメリカから帰ってきたばっかりなんですよね。ごめんなさい。
バイトの方。
あ。
あしょうがないね。
すいません、本当お手柔らかにお願いします。新人なんで
申し訳ないです。
本当に、ね、すいません皆さん。で、ここで、木村さんの大ヒット曲、皆さんこれが楽しみにしているかと思いますけど、アルファベットラブ、お送りします。
アルファベットラブ。
いや、歌えないですよね。
いや、今まあ、
やっぱ僕生とか聞いてないんで、今日。うん、僕生とかちょっと聞いてないんで。
あ、そうですか。すいません、なんか月刊フリーは。
申し訳ないですね。やっぱそういうね、場を整えていただかないと。
あ、
うん、歌えない的なみたいな。
あ、
あと交通費出るのかな。
あ、もちろんもちろんお出しします。
あ、そうですか。
はい、スペシャルゲストの木村さんですから。
ですよね。
ファンの方に来られちゃいます。
もう、ね、ですよね。
とんでもございません。はい、
なんだかそれじゃ帰って、はい、あもうなんだか本当に、あ、申し訳ないですね。
あの後で計算出していただいて。
あ、そうですね。
で、湘南新宿ラインを使っていただけるということであれば。
なっちゃいます。
はい、
タクシーなし
2000以上かますとちょっとなしかなって。
あと引っ張りすぎかなって。
そうですね。はい、交通の件は以上です、ね。
もしよかったら司会業のノウハウも僕の方から。
あ、うん、あ、なるほどなるほど。はい、ありがとうございます。
申し訳ない。ちょっとなんかね、なんか感じさったみたいで申し訳ない。
いやいやいや、もう今日はこんな盛り上がった夜でお送りしておりますの。
でねえねえ、いつ始まるの？
本当。
え、やんないの？
これで、ね、時間が。
From Pedro Show. We just heard something new from Hebe Tetsu. Sorry. By Z. And he's got Jun Nomoto, a great saxophone player I got to play with. He's also in this other band that we heard called Hunun Hum. And a song called Midnight Run. And it's his brother's a drummer, so he switches to percussion in one of the bands in the percussion. Although I think Z's down to three now, but I got to play with both of them on that tour, brother, sister, daughter. By the way, I get to play with them on September 2nd, my birthday. They took one of them songs from that birthday gig and put it on a compilation album. Raymond did the artwork. Yes, Raymond.
Cool.
And so they want me to come to the gig, a record release gig. And so I'll do that. And also, Migu record release. New Migu album.
Cool.
Me and Petra on there. It's trippy. We're on one of their... They asked us to do a song, but they're not on it. It's just me and Petra. And Money Mark, a little synthesizer. By the way, Money Mark played with me and Petra last week, and Flea, and Toko Honda, and Takasan at some benefit in Pacific Palisades.
Pretty fun, huh?
It was. Kind of scary. It was outside overlooking the ocean up in Pacific Palisades. And someone's all right. Well, those things, there's no songs. You just got to go for it. It's scary. Flea's amp burned up, too. And then he got back in the game. I'm supposed to be getting CDs of the music. We'll see. Maybe I'll play some on the show. Then we heard a band from Yamagata called Shift. Great band. And Parallel World. And we started off. They didn't have a title for this yet, so I just called it Untitled Number 1, recorded May 5, 2009, by Light. And so you're inspecting cinder block room, house, building.
A large masonry building. I just say cinder block for people who...
But they sprayed it with some
for
stuff.
Layman. It's not Lantern. Very exciting to talk about. Waterproofing that goes on the cinder block.
And you got inspected.
And, yes, in the lath.
Where? Is it in the valve?
And the plaster. In the valley.
Yeah.
I don't want to say exactly where it's at. I don't it's need any right. more stalkers than I already have.
You already have. Whoa. Maybe we should play some more music.
Yeah. the clear sky. It's a perfect day. Go out and ride the tide. Violet red, longer days, cooler cruises and the camera case. Green and blue, all for you. In the summertime, in the summertime, in the summertime.
Don't you even believe?
David Carradine, in a closet.
Okay, we just heard Black Cows at Night from Home and Garden.
I don't get.
That's Tony Mahoney, brother Tony, and brother Scott Krause from Caribou. And then Serenade, a Tripod Jimmy with brother Tom Herman. We start off every day on tour, listen to Autumn Leaves, trippy song by Tripod Jimmy. You know, Autumn Leaves, very famous traditional song, you know? Tony Bennett, Frank Sinatra, everybody. But it's not that song. There's just one line where he goes, "This is no Autumn Leaves." And it's not Autumn Leaves, but that's what they called the tune. But the chorus is, you gotta do what you gotta do. And so we thought that was good morale booster every morning. You start the drive. Then we heard Summertime Agitpop, John DeFries open up that show in Mercury Lounge in New York City. Did solo. He was great. Great to play with John. It's been a long time. And then 106 Beats That Live by Wire. We were going to try to cover this song, but Tom learned it and I couldn't get the words together, so sorry. It was near the end of the tour, but a great tune. And then we heard Lullaby by Maggie Kim. I played bass on that. It's trippy. It's a Motown song in three. Like a Motown waltz.
Mm.
So I tried to swing the bass that way. And we're at the end of the first hour of the Lot from Pedro show, June 7, 2009, hold tight for hour two. June 7, 2009, it's the second hour of the Lot from Pedro show.
Yeah. happy. I'm happy, go lucky and plucky. Just loving the wild and the free. I sleep in the fields in the open. The bed is the bell of a pine. I sleep neath the stars in the open. This world and its riches are mine. Yoodle-hee, yoodle-hee. The blood of the strong. My soul is the soul of a lover. The earth and its freedom, my song. No ties of a family irk me. No labor I give for my bread. I know not the meaning of the toiling. I'm happy, contented in bed. Yoodle-hee, oo-ma-lee. Oh, leedle-hee, I yoodle-hee, oo-ma-lee. I'm seen by the side of the highway. I'm met on the streets in the slums. I'm ragged and tattered and weary, but enjoying life as it comes. Yoodle-hee, oo-ma-lee. Oh-lee-oh-lee, aye, yoodle-hee, oo-ma-lee.
Walk from Pedro Show. Hour two started off with Diaphragm Man, I Was Once a Man. And then we heard Tech by Man Flu. And then The Contented Hobo by Asa Martin, old cowboy singer from the 20s and 30s. Yeah, Man Flu, trippy name. The drummer is a cat named Willie. You know, I always paddle in the same outfit to try to relieve stress on the Homeland Defense squadrons we have in the harbor, you know, so you see the same clown out battling, same outfit. And his pop had a hardware store in Brooklyn called Tarzian's. It's a Willie Tarzian. Yeah. Tarzian's Hardware, and so it's his sweatshirt I wear. Cool. Yellow and the purple pants and the blue hat. I always try to wear the same. I wish I could meet these guys, you know, they come zooming by you with the machine guns and just let them know I'm okay. Or I'm not okay, but I'm not a threat to the country.
Yeah, it should know them. They see you all the time.
Tuesday, Thursday, Saturdays. I'm so regular about it. I was out paddling this Thursday. Finally, actually, Thursday was the first day I could paddle because, like I said, this tour had me kind of beat up. And one of the things was my hands. They were really sore. Now, some of the time I was helping Raul with his drums. So I was like slapping on there. And, you know, his sticks would be hitting on my accidentally. But I got kind of beat there. They were so huge and just playing, too. I just got new pickups for the Dan bass, Pitbull, made by Rio Grande, Texas company. And these Lindy Fralin pickups sounded good, but maybe a little more punch with these guys. That bass was great, man. Stayed in tune really good, and get this, for the first time ever I played whole tour with one set of strings. In fact, I put them in a box. I took them off when I put in the new pickups a couple days ago, and you know, on the box I wrote, you know, used for entire Prac in the Third Opera tour 2009.
Wow.
I've never done that. Usually in the old days I'd break them every 2-3 gigs or somewhere, they'd get all dead. And maybe I'm less younger, less strong.
Playing lighter.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I can't pull hard. So, I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't know, but to use the same set of strings the whole tour.
Yeah.
It's like I couldn't even break them if I wanted to, maybe. I don't know. Also, the bridge, I kept the stock bridge, and it's really roundy. There's no pointy edges. What'd you do while I was gone, Tiff?
I worked. And, I really can't, I don't think so.
Brother Matt, you see any gigs?
Yeah, I got turned on to some cool music. I went down to Joshua Tree Music Festival.
Oh, like last year.
That was bitching. Yeah, that was great. They really, it's not a corporate thing, and it's just a bunch of music lovers and friends who put
what
together.
What town is it by? Joshua
Tree? It's right by Joshua Tree, yeah. Yeah.
Yucca Valley.
There's like a little lake, a pond there called like Joshua Tree Campgrounds or something. Okay. That's where it is. And they
always, I got invited to play in a place called Pioneer Town.
Yeah, it's right by there. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's affiliated, but maybe, yeah, it's right by there.
Maybe in August.
Mm. Yes, yeah, Pete play
or September.
There. I saw Pete down there before.
Pioneer Pete Mazich.
Yeah. Yeah. One of his,
you know, I'm supposed to record with him and a couple of his buddies. Jack Barrett is now making a Longshoreman movie about Bloody Thursday.
Oh.
Which was a great. It wasn't just in L.A. Harbor, it was in San Francisco.
The West Coast.
Portland and Seattle. I think it's actually the general strike actually started in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
But that's usually the day after 4th of July. Right. We have a picnic.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's a big holiday around
here. Right, right. So he's making a documentary, and he's got some old working songs he wants spieled over some like riff I do with Pete Mazich, organ player for Second Man. And he's also a longshoreman.
Mm-hmm.
And so... that's supposed to happen on the 16th.
Oh, cool.
16th is Bloom's Day.
Cool.
Raymond's birthday, too. So that was good. Who was playing?
That's one of the things I dig about. There's always bands I don't know about.
Yeah, so you discovered.
Yeah.
Bone Phone.
I think it's Twan.
You know about this festival?
No.
How's it? We're doing the What From Pico show right now.
I'm out of it when it comes to music.
Probably.
It seems like I...
You were singing me all these 80s songs.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
What were those bands you making a CD?
I made a CD of 80s dance music.
Yeah.
Freakazoid. Meeting in the ladies' room.
See a couple of them, like you were earlier.
No.
She was when the mic wasn't on.
And some Metallica. No.
Oh, yeah. Did you put that on?
You started it.
Yeah, how?
Because Master.
Okay. Why were we saying master?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we're getting
the master volume because we're having problems getting the microphone.
For show bugs back.
Yeah, it's weird the tangents, how they spin off. Got into Metallica.
Yeah, so I saw Bass Nectar, too, last week.
Bass Nectar.
He was in town. So.
And he's a...
I play a bunch of him. I'll play some today.
Oh, he's... Okay, an Aphrodite type of guy?
Yeah, he plays a Burning Man all the time. He just finished up a tour, so I think he was ending it.
Splongold type?
Yeah, just fatter.
Just fatter,
yeah.
All right. Any other music or gigs?
I think that was about it. Mostly just been working,
Brother Matt's in the home stretch. How many graduates? 37?
37 at the moment, maybe 12 more. So those would have been dropouts we've converted.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And last year, 23. And that was a record. So Brother Matt's almost doubled the record.
Yeah.
It's very neat. Very neat work.
I got Teacher of the Year last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we got the 2-week countdown. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
These are cats that coming back, giving it another go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's big respect to them.
Mm-hmm. They're unstoppable.
Not giving up. You know, having some bumps in the life and getting back up.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Yeah, that's what makes the graduations cool, because everyone's had like plenty of obstacles that they didn't stop them.
Yeah, and you know, no whine before it's time.
Mm.
You know, so we're not robots. We are freakazoids. But
the age range is
16, 18.
Great. Oh, okay.
A little bit. A couple are a little bit older, but that's basically the range.
Yeah, and there's some cats. The dropout rate is like 60%.
Yeah.
Some
insane.
Parts of the school district. It's really bad.
Yeah, some parts of the harbor here.
And so it doesn't mean they're gone. You know, that's my
A lot of them are real smart. They just don't like being locked up in a cage.
Yeah, a lot of shit is just too boring.
Right.
So there's a technique. I know for a band, you can have a band and you can tell guys what to do, but to get the best performance, there's a little technique involved.
than just telling them what to do. And I think mm-hmm. teachers, and I have a lot of respect, my sister's brother Matt, I mean, I have big respect for teachers, but I think there's technique to, like, getting cats excited and enthused. Of course, they got to bring something. The home situation's got something to do with it.
Yeah, because, like, if your home's backing you, it doesn't matter what your demographic or mm-hmm. you know, whatever, you could be successful. You can cross all lines and be successful if your family's backing you.
Yeah, that's happened. So, respect on that.
Cool, thanks.
Yeah.
So, we got all these cuts. So, this past year, I've been working.
I know, my sister's telling me she might get scissored.
I got 25% of my income bladed. But I'm going to have a lot more free time, so that's good.
Okay.
At least they're building a new high school in San Pedro, so.
Where's it going to go?
Right up there. They started knocking down those buildings.
That's for sure now, because there was a big neighborhood thing against it.
They didn't get big enough.
Okay.
But those buildings were the last of World War I buildings in the country, and they're starting to knock them down.
That's
but
sad.
I'm going to be in the historical part. They're going to remain, keep a few buildings there, fix them up. So that's where my spot is.
It was built by, named after Douglas MacArthur's father. It was built like in 1913, Great White Teddy Roosevelt sent the Great White Fleet to show off, you know, and it stopped here. And when it stopped here, he said, "This place needs a fort," and that's when it was built. And I'm in the officer's latrine. Now the top part the upper reservation is Angel Gate Cultural Center. I've got the longest lease. I've been there 23 years.
So that's like last of the wide open spaces around here.
And the nature preserve, which they made up the other part.
Yeah.
So some good music. You know, I saw a lot of good bands on tour, too. I wrote about them on a diary. It's hard for me to remember.
Yeah, it's cool reading the diary, though. I made it through most of it.
Yeah? I don't think Tom got the last weekend, but he had to go straight to Austria to do a Red Crayola gig, so maybe he'll get that done. Now it's time for Brother Matt. And your spin cycle.
Cool.
kill. It was your destiny, it was a God's will. To fail, they the more say why was the reason for.
Very good, Brother Matt. Thank you for another edition of the Spin Cycle.
Cool.
And Bob Stiers has joined us.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
It's nice to be back.
Yeah, and with this little anthology of Whitman there, but none of the first edition poems.
1909, they're already doing different editors' versions.
Reader Digest Redux.
Yeah.
We were asking everybody, Bob, before you came, while I was gone on tour, did you see any gigs?
You saw the Meat Puppets.
Meat Puppets.
Where did you see the Meat Puppets?
Life Affirming. It was a record release party at the Mint. And
Long Beach.
No, the Mint.
L.A.
In L.A. And
Alex, for some reason, did you see him at Alex's bar before?
I didn't see that, so I hadn't seen
him. Did you see that, Brother Matt?
No, I didn't see it when I was here.
Somebody saw it.
Last time I saw him, I think it was at Bogart's. That's how long ago it was.
Long Beach, Marina Pacifica Mall.
Yeah, and what was really cool was, you know, they came out and they did the entire new album. They started out really great, and then they went in for about four songs, and then these mid-tempo songs. Drummer was, that's the first time I noticed a different drummer.
Ted.
And it got a little sluggish because they're brand new songs. They haven't played live before. This is the first gig of the tour with the new album. And then they kicked it into another gear and they started playing fast. He really got with it and they were having fun. It was good to see Chris Kirkwood feeling a little insecure at first and then the crowd giving him a lot of love and just really appreciate it. And they did, you know, Lost on the Freeway, and he just very quietly, I'm right up by the front, this is dedicated to Dee Boone. So it's like they're, act like they're doing someone else's song, just because they are in a way that
you
guys...
Well, you know, Minutemen used to do our own
yeah,
version.
Yeah, I know. You had your own version, which is pretty good. But it was really cool. The brothers are having fun. And lots of people there from the old days. I saw Chuck Dukowski was there. And
Linda Kite.
Good crowd. But they really seem to be having fun, and this new record, I think, is kind of a throwback to the era, and the title cut sounds a little mercy, but they aren't that. Their chops are never that smooth live that, you know, it's,
I don't know.
It sounds good.
But Kurt Wood is a wicked guitar.
Oh, yeah, and I had forgotten, though, but Chris, his facial expression.
That's what it was about the Alex's gig. It was acoustic.
Oh,
he's playing
yeah.
like acoustic through an amplifier. Yeah, somebody went and saw it. Maybe Raul.
No, this was great to have the electric because I had forgotten just the facial expressions of Chris Kirkwood. You know, kind of like, well, Dylan would do this kind of Lugosi silent movie sort of things, making these strange faces as he gets into it. And they played, here's a club gig at the Mint, and they played just short of 2 hours.
Great.
No breaks.
Did you see any other gigs?
I think that was it. Nothing else, really. No.
Brother Matt went to the Joshua Tree Music Festival.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, Nortec Collective. They were also there. Nortec Collective.
Yeah, right.
Drums. Yeah, they were great. Cool. Nortec was awesome.
Oh, that would be nice.
Here, let's play some music from Russia.
Любит меня и без.
that song. All right. Fucked up there. So let me do this again. We heard, started off with Black Hole by Infexia, then X cover, Nausea by Venus Bogardus, who opened up for us in Albuquerque this last tour. What Comes Next by Anarchist Wood, and finally Pigs and Butterflies by Vicious Puddin'. And we're at the end of the second hour of the June 7th, 2009 Watt from Pedro show. Hold tight for hour three.
Sounded just like a live show. I mean, you didn't mess up.
June 7th, 2009. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro show. And now, Captain Pleased. This cat happened to me... get in touch with Meatball Fulton, the author of the Jack Flanders adventure series over there at ZBS Media, ZBS.org, in upstate New York. Since 1971, been doing these trippy mind movies.
Starts off many a third hours.
Yeah, right. And get this, there's a brand new Adventures of Jack Flanders. It, 38 years later, Jack, they're still making them, and you'll recognize these cats' voices. Incredible, and of course, Meatball.
They got the same guys on there too. 38 years later.
That's how you'll be able to hear the same voices, but the voices have aged a little bit. It's interesting because you know I have the Jack Flanders through all the years. I first heard him as a teenager over at KPFK. Roy of Hollywood would play this shit at midnight, you know, and. Anyway, there's a new adventure. It's 11 parts. The first part today of Jack Flanders in the White Castle.
Should be in St. Alicia before nightfall.
What do you know about that island?
Only what Claudine has told me. And that isn't much.
If St. Alicia is another one of Claudine's select islands, it means something is going on there.
You can bet on that. We're on the final leg of our voyage. And there's Claudine, Dominique, Mojo, Rose, and myself, Jack Flanders. Oh, it's not the Rose we started out with, but Rose's cousin, who also happens to be named Rose. So you could say it's been one rosy voyage. It's just that we're beginning to feel a little cramped on this 36-foot trimaran. I think we've all been looking forward to the end of this voyage. But Claudine has one final destination.
Claudine?
Yes, Jack?
What are we in for this time?
I wish I knew. Why are we stopping in St. Alicia? We were invited, Dominique.
By whom?
Sanford White. He owns the island.
The whole island?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, I understand he ran a hedge fund. Made a few hundred million, or maybe a few billion. And he got out before everything crashed.
I thought he was an architect.
No, you're thinking of Stanford White, Rose.
They made a movie about him.
Is Sanford related to Stanford?
I don't think so. No.
A jealous husband shot him.
Shot Sanford? Stanford.
Claudine, you were saying?
Sanford bought the island of St. Alicia and built a castle.
The White Castle.
Man, I love the White Castle.
Are you referring to the home of the square hamburger?
What? Square hamburger?
Oh, yeah. Back in Philly, there used to be a White Castle on South Street. They were open all night. At 3 a.m, I could walk over and get a cup of coffee and a jelly roll.
What were you doing at 3 a.m?
Sometimes working, sometimes thinking.
Yeah, sometimes conjuring.
Man, that White Castle was so bright, I had to wear my shades.
I don't recall seeing White Castles in Montreal.
Oh, they had them in Detroit.
White Castle was the first hamburger chain in the country.
Before McDonald's?
Way before that.
Oh, yes. They were established in 1776.
What?
Jack, come on.
Well, haven't you ever heard of the Musket Burger?
You mean a muskrat burger?
I know. A musket burger was anything you could shoot that you could fit between two buns.
Hooves and all?
You mean the 150-pounder?
I think we're straying from the subject.
Oh, yeah? What subject?
The White Castle.
They had a hamburger they called the Slider.
They'd slide it to you?
Yeah, right down the full length of the stainless steel counter.
From one side of the castle to the other.
Yeah, zoop.
Got it.
Nice kid.
The original White Castle was founded in Wichita, Kansas in 1921.
You can remember that far back, Rose?
I was not around then, Jack.
Ooh.
They had hamburgers in the 1920s?
Oh, please, this has nothing to do with hamburgers.
I could use one right now.
Me too.
A square hamburger?
What I am talking about is an actual White Castle.
Well, the others were too.
They did look like miniature medieval castles.
This is not a miniature.
Speaking of miniatures, I wonder if there's a maze.
A maze?
Yeah, a maze, you know, with a minotaur.
An amazing minotaur.
Oh, please stop, all right? Oh, thank you.
Hey, wait. Up ahead. That's St. Alicia.
Oh, it's a pretty island.
Oh, it's a beautiful white beach.
Nice palm trees.
And over there. See? There it is.
The White Castle. It does look like a real castle.
Man, why build something like that?
Why not? He has the money.
Maybe it was a childhood fantasy.
Some people are crazy.
What about the Hearst Castle?
Yeah, but why white?
Would a black castle be better?
I was thinking maybe mauve.
I don't think so.
It's not always white.
What do you mean? See? The sun is setting.
Oh, yeah. It does have kind of a rose tint to it.
Where?
You can see it up there, on the terrace.
The Rose Castle.
I like that.
I thought you would, Rose.
This isn't much of a tourist town, is it?
It's such a pretty island. You'd think it'd be more developed.
Oh, don't forget, it's a private island.
Did he buy the whole island? The village, the houses, everything, and everyone?
Does White own the entire island?
I believe he does. How do you buy an island when people are already living there?
You buy them, too.
Are we going up to the castle?
Let's get something to eat first.
Well, seeing that castle makes me want a burger.
A square one?
Round's fine with me.
Ground round?
Sounds better than ground square.
Oh, Mojo.
Okay, Claudine. What have we stepped into here?
We spoke about this before.
We did?
You called it a rift in reality.
I did?
Yeah. You were talking about dimensions rubbing up against each other. And when that happens, those invisible membranes can wear themselves pretty thin.
Did I say that?
Is that what's happening here?
I don't know. What are we talking about?
I find it hard to believe. It may be a natural phenomenon of this reality.
Yeah, which is starting to sound like fiction.
But it may be the truth.
Don't you think that's strange?
Why shouldn't truth be stranger than fiction? After all, fiction has to make sense.
Oh, good point for you, Dominique.
Didn't Mark Twain say that?
He did, and so did I.
You mean we're here to figure out if White's got a rift or not?
We'll be staying at the castle.
I always wanted to live in a castle.
Why would anyone want to build a castle on a rift in reality?
People do strange things.
Remember those stories about the Bermuda Triangle?
Whatever happened to the Bermuda Triangle?
You don't hear about it anymore.
That's because it swallowed Bermuda.
Oh, Chuck.
They called it the Devil's Triangle.
It was an area in the Caribbean Sea where ships simply vanished.
I believe it was proven to be nonsense.
Oh, yeah. Science can be so serious.
Well, are we ready
for the Devil's Triangle?
No. Ready to go up there.
You mean now?
Yes, of course now.
In the dark?
Mm-hmm. I told Sanford we'd go to this castle as soon as we arrived on the island.
We have flashlight.
Could we call a taxi?
Mm. No. You need the exercise. Come on, get your things. Let's go.
I thought I was the captain. I I knew it. It's all uphill.
You need the exercise.
You've been on the boat too long, Jack.
Man, that's a nice big moon.
Now I can see the castle.
Wow. It is impressive.
It sure does shimmer.
You know, I saw the Taj Mahal once at night. The white marble did appear to shimmer in the moonlight, too.
It's so white. Is it made of chalk? Isn't this an odd place to build a castle?
Well, like Jack said, people like to do some strange things.
What? No moat?
Oh, moats are so passé.
No, look, there is a moat.
I'll bet it's got a couple crocodiles.
Can you see anyone?
No, no one.
Isn't there a doorbell?
That is a drawbridge.
What do we do then? Shout?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Oh. Hello? Anyone home?
Look, there is a bell.
There is a bell?
Who says a bell?
Oh, Chuck, just ring the bell.
Now, I know we've been on that boat too long.
Why do you say that?
I knew we could get seasick, but I didn't know we could get sea silly.
Is His Majesty going to greet us?
He said he would, yes.
I wonder if there's anyone here.
Wait, did you see that?
What?
Look, up there, on the turret.
The gargoyles?
I just saw a gargoyle move its head.
You're kidding.
I'm not.
There's another one. It's looking down and giving us the old gargoyle eye.
What are they? They are most likely security cameras.
Very sneaky.
I hope they don't spit.
Do gargoyles spit?
Yes, they do.
No, they don't. They drool.
Oh, wait. Here comes the drawbridge.
Mojo, were you ever spat on by a gargoyle?
No, because I know to keep my distance.
Oh, watch your toes.
Well, shall we?
After you, Dominique.
You're our leader. You go first.
I am merely your captain. You are Joan of Arc.
So I am. Souvenez-moi.
Jack, aren't you coming?
I just thought I'd wait and see if any buckets of boiling oil were poured down on Dominique.
Go, Jack. Come on.
Come now, you'll not give up.
out of here?
Your book of shares remind me of the term that I want to put inside of your boxy perm. You took a little, I took a lot. Why don't you get them down and let me see what you got? Don't worry, Blair, you can relax. It ain't game with no eye contact. So keep it quiet and we'll have a ball. I got a present for you when I think that just how I live. Get shot between the arms.
Okay, we started off with part one of The White Castle, Jack Flanders.
Jack.
Now, the first time I was introduced to White Castle was in Minneapolis. I was with the Hooskers, Minuteman with the Hooskers. And
what year is this now?
I think January of 82, 83.
Oh, so early.
And we go to this chow pad. Bob says, you got to eat at this chow pad. It's got this tile all over. Meet D. Boone, Georgie. Go with them in there, and Bob orders first, and he orders, I want three hamburgers, three cheeseburgers, two whatever, fish things, and we're thinking, damn, this cat can fucking eat. But then they came out, and they were these tiny little biscuits, but it blew our minds. We thought, like, well, Bob, he's really pulling out the aces here. He's going to...
Well, I heard he could eat pretty well.
Yeah, but come on, seven hamburgers. But they were tiny little things. In fact, they come in like sixes.
Little six packs. Sliders.
But they were kind of terrible. So I never chowed.
Don't they actually have a thing they slide them down, right? When they make them and then it goes down a little ramp like this.
Or maybe they're pre-made and they heat them up.
Bocce ball thing or whatever, you know, the it's got a little
shoot.
When they finish them, they slide them down a little shoot.
Or so they probably fire them out of some guy's yang.
Yeah. What's really in there? You don't want to know.
Okay, and then we heard Dominoes by Jeff Beard, and Dominoes is a Syd Barrett song. And Dude Parties by Massa. Massa's a great bass player for that band Culture Shock, with those slab guys.
Uh-huh.
I got to play with
Scorpio. Yeah, cool.
They live in Seattle now. Massa teaches up there. Actually, he's from Japan. He's a great bass player. Tiff, you never been to Sierra Madre?
I don't think so.
Like, if you took that 101, if you kept due east, it would turn into Cali 134.
The 110.
Okay.
No, you would turn into Cali 134, then it would turn into Interstate 210, and you'd be very close.
Okay,
to
I've
get off
driven
at
all along the 210.
You know where the Santa Anita racetrack is. You get off at
you're there. It's the
and it's a sleepy little town.
It's almost due east of you by like 20
I'm sure
miles.
It, believe it or not, it has the lowest crime rate of any city in the state of California.
And it's got the LA County's
no signals.
Volunteer fire department.
You can hear the thing.
And they did that because the LA fire department wouldn't come. Because
well, it was, it was county, which meant there's always a budget thing. And by the time they got there, as a kid, I mean, those hills caught on fire quite a bit. And, they had another big one back in 94, lots of times. But and there's also a monastery up there where the big kid football team used to come to get a good night's rest before the Rose Bowl. And I can say that maybe I made an impact on the 76 Rose Bowl. My friend Glenn and I went up there and tooted the horn about 3 in the morning. And Ohio State was ranked number one and like a 2-touchdown favorite over UCLA. And the Bruins just took it to them the next day. You never know.
But you help them cheat.
They used to have a greeter. Like in Laguna, there was this old kind of a beatnik guy with tattoos all over, no shirt on, and he'd be waving as you came into town. And,
a greeter?
Yeah. Laguna used to have a guy like that too, like a statue of him. Just the kind of guy that's totally a bohemian type, free spirit, which is kind of cool. And
Treasure of Sierra Madre, however, was not filmed in Sierra Madre.
No, it wasn't.
Too bad.
Yeah.
But it's a neat place. They're
There's a chow pad there that Mario from Fatso Jetson has, and I played. It's called 323.
Oh, is that? I didn't know that. That's Mario. Yeah.
There was a place called Buccaneers that used to...
Buccaneers, I see Joe Baez's play there. They got some good shows.
But it used to have another name?
Well, actually, the 322 was called the Raven or the Rose. And it was this funky place where if you wanted to go in to take a leak, the bass player had to do a Bill Wyman and lift the guitar up, right, so that you could walk by. And they had a little patio. It looked like someone's funky backyard where they had a pinball table, open air, and people would be smoking joints out there, and the smoke would literally could blow down on the police station, but it was a mellow place. And
talking about pissing in bars, I played at the North Star Tavern in Philadelphia, place from the 20s, and they had the trough, you know, like Tijuana has them places. Yeah. So you don't have to leave the bar to piss. You just piss in the trough.
Oh, I've never seen that.
Yeah.
That's hard.
What? No.
Yeah.
What do you mean from
you? You mean it still existed, but people weren't using it.
That's what you need for your boat, man. Then you don't have to try and, you know, get the big mouth bottle. You know, you just got the trough.
I'll tell you some who was displaying
some
wild...
What do you mean? It just goes under the bar?
Yeah, you're sitting at the bar where the brass rail is, right under there's trough.
That's why they had a brass rail, because it didn't oxidize from all the, you know...
Guys,
so you didn't have to lose your seat.
Guys are so...
clever.
Well, I hear it. It's just old plumbing. And it was field where the Dodgers played.
Kidney filtered. It probably went back into the beer. Probably the trough fed the keg for the next round.
Yeah, that's why they call Miller the champagne and the bottle beer.
Yeah. So that was a trip. They still had the trough. I'll tell you who's displaying some wild technique on the tour was Tom Watson. I mean, these little water bottles getting them all the way to the brim. I mean, of course, he'd have to...
Start and start. Back it up.
No, he'd have to show me and Raul each time. I got, like, many pictures.
I think...
Very proud, Tom. Very proud of him. Yeah.
He had to earn his credibility.
You know about Lou Barlow, right?
I heard they're going to tour with him.
That's right. And Barlow and the Missing.
Hey, that's the example.
So he earned his credit.
Thelonious Monk thing. Just be the scene and look what happens.
Beyond the scene. Don't
be
sound.
The scene is Arthur Lee.
Don't sound for gigs.
That's what you do, right? It works.
Beyond the scene.
Yeah.
You don't know that advice, Tiff? Didn't you get that thing from Monk? Actually, no. Steve Lacy wrote it.
No.
Steve Lacy wrote it, was the guy that played with him.
Yeah, he's like...
But did you get these things over the years?
Yeah.
You jotted down these little
lines
from the mouth
Steve
to Monk.
Steve Lacy played sax for him, and Monk would like share this wisdom, musical wisdom. He had spent a lot of years in the trip and was an innovator. Make the drummer sound good.
I like that. How do you make
music? You're the best.
Yeah, like this lousy wisdom type stuff.
Yeah.
It was great. Great stuff. So look, you actually did go to another gig.
Yeah, I don't know if you call it a gig, but I'm trying to think of the name. It was a
Scarnella.
Rock, Scarnella at the, I think I call it the, something like the Art Center. And it's the converted LA Unified Library. With the Spanish decor, but this really cool kind of Art Deco lights. And it was a movie that had Lon Chaney, not Junior, Lon Chaney.
Silent
1928
movie.
Silent movie. I think it was called something like Laugh at the Clown. And it's an hour and a half. And so Nels and Carla, I mean, they had copious notes. And they're playing along, even like there's a part where they're knocking on the door and Nels has got a little thing where he hits a little drum sound.
Foley.
Yeah, and it was pretty good. They put a lot of time and effort into it, and no actual lyrics, but Carla had this thing of doing these vocal sounds that made it really cool. It's like a little humor, but yet where you couldn't make out what she's saying, and enhanced it quite a bit. And I was just amazed that because this old library room, you could hear Nels, you know, with all his foot pedals, it became a percussion instrument. Just him clicking, the clicking sound of him hitting the pedals became like an additional percussive.
What about the audience? People farting?
Audience was really interesting audience. I said people like I haven't seen 25 years, like Weeba Garrettson. Just a real good crowd. They're going to have more there. A really good vibe. It was something to see, because it's not like, can you imagine, you know, I don't think I've ever seen Nels Ad Nervis playing an hour and a half of stuff that all original with, you know, these aren't, oh yeah, we do this track.
Roger Miller's got a trio.
Oh, from Mission of Burma? Or
no. God, I can't think of the name. But he's got a trio, and that's what they do. They make music for silent movies being played live.
Well, didn't you do...
I'm not recording it.
You did the narrator for
yeah,
one?
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, spiel. Yeah, for Guy Madden, Brand Upon the Brain. That was a mind blow, because I hadn't seen it. So I was spieling it while I was watching it. So I didn't know where it was going. So I was kind of serious about it, you know. It was kind of funny in parts, but it had some trippy... Guy Madden, I was in touch with me. He said, because he wasn't at the thing, but his crew gave him back good things about my thing.
Oh, really? Well, that's a whole different form. I saw, Lisa Varga.
Yeah.
Do this. Yeah, with just a vocal machine that was throwing back at him where he assembles it into about 8 different instruments, and he's feeding off himself live.
Looping on himself. Yeah, Petra
and
does it.
All voices, he came out in a little 3-piece suit, and it was really quite good for the guy that's doing the, you know, metal on metal. It was awesome. But, I mean, it's a different form, but yet it seems like a musician with, you being a bass player, you have a good sense of rhythm, that, you know, and the idea of going with the timing of the film, you have a good sense of pace. And
they had a prompter. And then a countdown would come when the next spiel's coming up.
Oh, so now the prompter was right on the screen, too, so you didn't have to...
I had a little screen that... Because I'm facing the audience. It's like I'm reading a poem in front of this movie screen, but I'm looking at a screen, and the words are coming down, and then there'd be breaks, you know. They had a band, too, playing.
Oh, really?
String band, yeah. And they had Foley on the other side. Yeah, it was a trip. So they had a stool, which was kind of fucked up, because when the countdown would come for the next spiel, I didn't know if I hit my knees. At this time, from all the Stooges touring, I was hurting my knees bad. And there are no arm things on a stool, so I didn't know if I could get up by myself, you know. There's no wall.
Did the stool squeak when you got up?
It told me when he went to... Doctor talk about his things. He says, yeah, the doc always asks him to stand up and sees where the hands go, to reach out, to help, you know. When your knees get hurt like this. See this? Like, this is very hard for me.
Okay.
Oh, I did it.
That's pretty good. Well, you know, this thing was Garnella. They were over on the side, left side of the stage, and they were having to look up at the screen. So
old school.
It was very old school, so they couldn't.
My thing was,
there were no snooze breaks for them. I mean, there were no parts where they could put on autopilot, because they've done this song a million times. I mean, Nels had copious notes. I'd love to just see his all the notes, and I'm curious how much time they spent on it, but some of it was still kind of improv, in that, you know, they took some chances, which is great. So some of it works, some's brilliant, and then some is...
But, you know, you wouldn't want the narration running through the whole thing. There had to be breaks. Here, this fucking guy rapping.
Well, here they had no narration, and there wasn't a lot of, what do you call it, you know, the little titles or whatever. But Lon Chaney, it was perfect.
There was subtitles on the screen.
So this had some, sometimes. But some of it, Carla picked up on reading the lips.
Yeah, the way he filmed it was old-timey. He put, like, you know, maybe 8mm or something.
Oh, so this is something he made.
Yeah, Guy Madden's a movie maker from Winnipeg. A big movie for him is called The Saddest Music in the World. You heard about
that
movie?
Yeah, I have heard of
that. And the DVD version of Brand Upon the Brain, the narrator's Rossellini? Isabel Rossellini?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
She's also the star. She's like this one-legged beer baroness who comes up this contest to... Somebody's got to write, it's during the Depression, and who can write the saddest song?
Well, she was, her mother's Ingrid Bergman, so she had to have been around some interesting stuff as a kid.
She's incredible. I think her new thing now is called Green Porno. She's got a thing called green porno.
She's
she brings in nature with the kind of sex.
Self-sustaining.
Self-sufficient.
Ecologically.
And then, you know, she has aged incredibly.
Yeah.
Beautiful woman.
Isabella Rossellini is, she's beautiful to me.
She's regal.
She
you
is,
know, just the way everything about her is regal.
Like, there's a stereotype women, if they get a little older, they're no good and stuff, and she's ridiculous.
Well, some of them, like Bardot, didn't care. I like the sun. I'm going to be in the sun, too bad. And so, don't use me anymore, but it's my life, you know. Respect
or
her
some,
for that.
Maybe some people have good genes.
Yeah, there's definitely that. I mean, there's a certain kind of... Sophia Loren, I saw her at 53. She had no work done, no makeup, and she just has a Neapolitan.
Like,
she's from the
Polish. Beautiful.
Yeah. Neapolitan complexion. Just, you know.
I just saw a movie with one of her first ones with William Holden called The Key.
Oh, yeah.
You know about that movie? Yeah. God, is it sick.
He was in some weird stuff. And then
he was a tripper.
They've been going on his weed and all that. And
he ends up... I think hitting his table, head on the table from a drunk and died. We found him days later.
My neighbor, that happened too in the night it happened.
But
I said that.
What about the carotene thing? Because you know, Peek's missing today, so we're wondering.
Well, auto-asphyxiation, it sounds
she
like.
She went back to get her rope.
Auto-asphyxiation. You know, what that
the family's
is.
Bringing
in
it
in Realm of the Senses.
Not really
remember
a
that film that was
way
Japanese?
I think it's
in the 70s. What? In Realm of the Senses? You've been in Japan a lot. They're into that, that auto.
Yeah, that rope trick is like an art form.
Let's play some music.
Unshackled by the bad shepherd.
I free you from the flock. Free from trampling blood and gore. I kill the inquisitor. Reach public blood and gore. I kill the
I'm sorry.
have confessed. You admit the twists the word of God and drowns all in sin. Since immortality on earth, this is Harrison.
I am unshackled by the bad shepherd.
I'm free from the flock.
Nothing more.
Are welcome. sound on the bar. The hound dogs kept howling, and candy was put in a jar.
Doesn't work.
What?
Up in Silver Lake, they try to make a place look retro, and it's all shiny and new, and it just doesn't work, man. It looks like a bad movie set.
Okay. Started off with The Bad Shepherd by 180 Degree Mason. Then we heard Dr. Glass by Deer Hunter. The Great Cartoon by Deer Hoof. They're going to be touring soon. And Candy in a Jar by Solar Skeletons. Deer Hoof was supposed to be here last month with Cornelius, but the swine flu? That happened when I was gone.
Yeah, that's what you said.
And I don't know, was it a big scare here?
It dissipated quickly when nobody got it. But nobody, they didn't have any cases to report on, really.
Okay, in Japan it was a huge scare, so the Cornelius guys canceled their tour. Well, some of the gigs were Mexico City. And so Deer Hoof was going to play with them. So I think they're going to come back around.
Yeah, Mexico City sounded like it was nuts. They shut everything down.
There was some provinces near there where I think that's where it was really bad. But Mexico kind of took care of it, and it didn't really spread. I know they had a couple people die in Cali.
But 13,000 people die from regular flu every year in the States. Right. So, I mean, BFD, you know.
So it got too hyped.
Nothing to fear me into it.
Even when the light guys came over, Nobuyuki was wearing a mask. And I was saying, you know.
It's like SARS. I remember I saw the same with Ozzy Osbourne in Toronto. They canceled the gig, and he's on the radio. He's all, fuck SARS, come down to my gig. You know?
Actually, they're allergic to cats, too. So some of these I remember waking up in Pittsburgh, and there was these six young
Dander.
Japanese cats with masks on conk next to me. That was trippy.
Really?
Then Tom started wearing them. Tom's allergies started coming on, so he started wearing a mask.
What about those masks those dudes had on? Was that tobacco?
No, those were out masks.
I know. Those are intense. Those
were
cool.
Face masks.
I know.
His was Lance Ito.
That's who it was? Oh, okay.
In fact, they had a cat with the Lance Ito mask on with the Yeti bodysuit leaping around at the troubadour.
That's funny. One of my former brother-in-laws was one of the dancing Itos. Looked just like him.
Mr. Ito, didn't run a good court. I don't know.
Yeah, I've heard that.
What do I know? What about a big decision in the court that came by when I was on tour was Mr. Spector. Yeah.
Mr. Spector. Yeah. You know, it's funny that he finally got his comeuppance this time. I was watching, there's a documentary out now, a fairly new one on the Ramones, and they're talking about doing
John
their album,
the
Rock
guy.
And Roll High, yeah. Or whatever it was, Rock and Roll Radio. And he, you know, and Joey hit it off at first because Joey bought all these Bill Spector produced records, not even knowing that he had produced them. But near the end, he made them watch some weird science fiction and wouldn't let them leave. He pulled a gun on them. Like, no, you can't go yet. And, Johnny's saying, we had to get the fuck out of there. He's a demented man.
There was an article in the LA Times a couple days ago with the wife.
His wife is about...
Oh, they got married, while he was...
In 2006?
Yeah, I wonder what she had in mind.
Well, that's what the article's kind of about. But supposedly he's had to pay so much money for the defense, he's not really worth that much.
Yeah, he paid out at least
I don't know.
Well, he kind of...
You know, when you're on tour, I get cut off from the news in a way, because I'm
so focused
on the day.
Well, this time, see, they didn't really cover it, because, there just wasn't the interest, and this time, there was no doubt about it. I mean, they had him. It's a lot of manipulation.
I'm a little cynical.
You know, well, we've become kind of a third world,
mixed the man pill up with the cynical
Politburo, the Leonid Brezhnev effect is taking it. Now we're under that, really.
Malaise? Just talking about touring around the country. And
what's it like? What's the vibe out there?
It was kind of a upbeat.
Good. Of course, people really come to your shows are a little more the kind of people you want to hang with, you know?
Really?
They transcend. They transcend the bullshit. And there's opportunity. You know, when the economy's bad, I've figured out a lot of things I wouldn't before because I'm not going to take my car down to the shop. And so, what shouldn't have been anything else of the car was something with the cables on the battery when it's showing something else. If you get inventive, you know, necessity
as a mother of invention. And I think now people are doing things like bartering since they don't have cash to just buy. And it creates opportunities.
In fact, that's what she's actually doing. She's involved with the couchsurfing.com scene. That's why she couldn't come to the show today. Yeah, she's done a lot of barter through that, personal services and stuff. The connections get more real.
And places, even somewhat pricier places now are willing to deal on price or stay open longer. And because it's either that or just full. They have to make some concessions. So I think it makes people more resourceful, inventive. Maybe they have to get out and about a little bit more.
Yesterday was Belmont.
Yeah.
Mike the Bird almost had it. Came out, but then out of nowhere.
You know what's funny is I'm watching the race.
What, Summerbird?
This is the horse that won is the brother of the horse on Mind the Bird.
But it came out of nowhere, right?
Well, I was watching the wrong horse. The one that won, I'm watching, I go, he's way back, he's pinched on the rail, he's not going to get around. And then the guy got him outside and he came on fast. And Mind that Bird, though, keep in mind that most horses don't go in all three races. And by the time, and invariably, a lot of horses have gotten to the Belmont and not completed the Triple Crown because that last half furlong, they run out of gas. It's a mile and a half. Each race gets a little longer. And they bang bodies in the first one. The second race, you'll have maybe three horses back from the Kentucky Derby. The winner, they kind of force to come because you got to go for the glory. And the trainer was questioning him, but... that the jockey should have tightened the horse up a little bit. But, you know, the horse wanted to go. You can't always...
Well, Dunkirk faded, right?
Yeah.
He was leading the whole race.
But see, in a race like that, that's a long race. It's all about picking your spot and not making your run too early where you do run out of gas. Because these horses are three. They've never run that distance before. But Mind That Bird's a gelding. That must have been one tough horse in the barn, because it'll run till it can't anymore because they can't breed it.
They can't get money studding it.
Because to calm them down, they cut them.
They usually do it to
I don't remember seeing a gelding do that well. But, yeah, the jockey, though, he was going for his own little personal triple crown.
Yeah.
And he ran a great race to even get, you know.
Brother Matt was at the ball game yesterday.
Yeah.
Dodgers.
Yeah, and they win.
12 innings?
Oh, nice.
Andre Eve here hit a couple dingers.
Oh, really? Good. You've been struggling with that, man.
So it was a long game.
Broke. Yeah.
Who were they playing?
Phillies.
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
12
that's
innings.
Cool. Actually, in fact, and now Dodger Stadium has its own zip code. It's Dodger Town.
It's not 90012?
90090.
Yeah.
They made it up for them. All right, cool. We're at the end of the June 7th, 2009 Watt from Pedro show. Thank you, Bob, for coming by. Tiff.
Thank you.
Brother Matt, for your always essential aid and intervention. It's good to be back in my Pedro town. And next week we'll be back for another show.
Cool.
So keep your powder dry.